The Apostle Paul and Timothy had a very special relationship. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2, Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. There was a special relationship, obviously, that they had. Especially, he calls him really a true son in the faith. And if you turn to Acts 28, and you can do that, I'm just going to refer to it. But it tells us, this is the last two verses of the 28th chapter of Acts. In that, those last two verses really of that entire letter, or that entire book, the statement tells us that Paul was in really what amounted to house arrest in Rome. And while he was there, no one forbade him of having people come in. Evidently, he couldn't go out, but he could have people come in. And he was able to preach things that had to do with the kingdom of God as a result of people coming in to him. And while we don't know this exactly or specifically or for sure, it very probably Paul wrote 1 Timothy while he was in this, under this house arrest here. And several things in some of his epistles point to that as a possibility. We're not going to look at those because it really, in some ways, it's unimportant, I think, to what we're talking about tonight. But very probably he wrote 1 Timothy in sometime in the mid-60s AD, maybe 64, 65. And not long after that, he wrote the book of 2 Timothy. And we're going to look at some things tonight from both of those that I think will be able to help us. I think they'll be good things for us to think about. Turn over to 2 Timothy 3, if you would. And let's notice particularly some things that he says in this second letter. Now, again, you remember that I said, and we know that this is probably about the last thing Timothy said to, or the last thing that Paul said to Timothy, and I think that is certainly the case. If you look, before we look at chapter 3, look at chapter 4. And let's just read these first 8 verses of 2 Timothy 4. And notice some of the last things that Paul would say to Timothy. He says, I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And then he would say this about himself, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul tells Timothy that as an evangelist who is younger than him, but yet is fairly well experienced, he says, there are some things that I want you to remember. And he says, I'm about to leave. He said, I'm about to be poured out as a drink offering. My departure is close. And as a matter of fact, what we know is that he probably died soon after he wrote this letter. And he tells Timothy, there are some important things that I want you to think about. I want you to preach the word. I want you to be ready in season and out of season. And as I read this myself, it just shows me the importance of, as a preacher of the gospel, as trying to do the best I can to impart the knowledge that God wants me to share with you and others with whom I have opportunity. So I think what Paul is doing here is he's sharing that with Timothy, and I think that is an important thing. But prior to what we just read in chapter 4, he says this beginning in chapter 3 and verse 14. This is the thrust of what I want you to think with me about tonight. Look at verse 14. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, the thing that strikes me as I read these passages and the passages in chapter 4 and really all throughout this letter is there is emphasis by Paul to Timothy about what the Bible says. Not just what it is, but what it says and what it can do for people. And the summary statement that he makes here in this passage, as a matter of fact, it's in verse 15. The summary statement is this, that the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If I had to write a thesis about what the purpose of the Bible is, I couldn't write it better than that. Think about it again. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And he says to Paul, or Paul says to Timothy, I want to remind you of this. This is one of the last things I'm going to say to you. This is what truly is important. And Paul's reminder is this. What you know is the only way to salvation. I want you to think about that. He's telling Timothy, you're going to preach, and the fact that you preach, you can tell people what they need to do in order to be wise for salvation. It's happened to you, and it needs to happen to other people as well. But that's the only way they're going to get that. And what I want you to think about, Paul's reminder is that he's reminding them that they are going to have faith as a result of them hearing the Word of God. It doesn't come any other way, folks. Salvation doesn't come with a feeling. Now, being saved and having salvation can give us the feelings that we want. It can give us the feelings of peace and it can give us the feelings of joy. The Ethiopian eunuch, after he was baptized into Christ, came up out of the water, and the text tells us that he went on his way rejoicing. And he did that because he knew that what he had done was the right thing to do. He didn't have the feeling prior to that. He had the feeling because he had done what he believed the Scriptures told him to do. And that's how salvation comes. It comes by doing what we know we ought to do in an objective kind of way. It doesn't come by feeling. Or it doesn't come by some, well, whatever's good for you. You know, you do what you think you ought to do for salvation, and I'll do what I think I need to do for salvation, and somebody else do what they think. That's not, as I read the text of the Bible, as I read anywhere in Scripture, I don't read that anywhere. I don't read where it says, listen, you do what you think God wants you to do, and you do what you think, and you do what you think, and everybody's going to be fine. That's not what I read. Would I prefer that? Yeah. If you want the truth of the matter, I would much prefer that. I would much prefer to just say as I preach, listen, God wants you saved, and what I would suggest you do is you just decide how you want that to happen. And then that's what you do, and if you do that, God's going to save you. That would be, in my judgment, the best way to go about it. I would feel so much better about it. The only problem with that is that's not what I read in Scripture. What I read in Scripture is that we have to read what the text tells us. We have to apply that. We have to do that. And when we do, God will be pleased with us. Salvation is not some out-of-body experience. The emphasis is always in Scripture. That's why he says in verse 16 of chapter 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you know this, for the man of God, or that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the purpose of it. And that's what Paul emphasizes to Timothy. Here's this relatively young man who preaches. Now, I want to make a point about that. The emphasis, and this was one of the points that I made yesterday to the young people who were there. The emphasis to young people needs to be Scripture. The emphasis to our young people, to our children, to our sons and daughters must always be Scripture. And when you think about the importance of that, that manifests itself in a lot of ways. That manifests itself in classes that we have here on the Lord's Day and on Wednesday night. We have classes, as we commonly say, for all ages, and we need to do that. But it just shows the importance that this church has always put on teaching. What the Holy Scriptures have to say. And this church is not going to, nor should it, pursue another approach to teaching people the gospel. Let's just simply talk about what the Bible says. Let's teach our children what the Bible says. And it shows the importance of teachers teaching well. And it shows the importance of students being willing to learn it well as well. That's one of the things that I stressed yesterday to those young people. Because I think that is important, and I never want us to move in a direction that would say, you know, well, this approach may not be working, so let's try a different approach. I'm not talking about method here. I'm talking about what our primary purpose in not only teaching our young people, but teaching all of us. Teaching is the lifeblood of what we all do here. It has to start with the Holy Bible. It has to start with the Holy Scriptures. And Paul said to Timothy, boy, I want to remind you of that, Timothy. Don't ever get away from that. Don't ever get away from that. Preach it. Preach it in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and correct and exhort. That's what you do with the Word of God. But I want to notice just for a minute tonight, I want to notice the personal example of Timothy. And I want you to notice some things that he said, particularly in verse 14, that I think are important. I want you to read that again with me. Look at 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 14. This is what he said as a reminder, I think, for what Timothy already knew. He said, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." He mentions, and let me go ahead and mention this. He mentions that he learned it from childhood. It started early. You know, I've had discussions with people before, a lot of folks, because they're interested. It's not discussion for argument's sake. It's discussion because they're interested. You know, how early should we start children teaching them the Bible? As early as they start learning. That's not a hard question for me. Because what this tells us that Timothy was taught early in childhood. From childhood he was taught the Holy Scriptures. And so not only as a parent, but as a church, as others, we have a responsibility to teach our young people and to begin that process as soon as we can. And I think because we should never underestimate the power of learning and what that means. He says that he learned. His mother and grandmother had great influence on him. If you go back to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, it says, Paul says, "I want to remind you, I bring to your mind your faith of your grandmother and your mother, Lois and Eunice." And he says it was genuine faith. It was true faith. And I don't know that Timothy ever expressed anywhere specifically his thanksgiving for his mother and his grandmother. But don't you think, based upon the faith that he had, don't you think that every day of his life he thought to himself, "Boy, I thank God that I had a mother and a grandmother who were willing to teach me the Holy Scriptures"? I'm confident of that. I don't know what he learned, but it says he learned. And the way that I mentioned this to the young people yesterday, and I think it's a good way for us to remember it, he learned, or he was convinced. He was convinced. There are three C's that I want to call to your mind tonight to help us remember what happened. He was convinced. He was taught the Scriptures. I'm sure he learned about Adam and Eve. I'm sure he learned about the story of Cain and Abel. I can imagine his mother and his grandmother at night, possibly, or during the day, talking to him about those stories. And here's what happened to Abraham. And here's what happened to Noah. And here's what happened to Isaac. And here's what happened to Jacob. And here's what happened to Joseph, who was one of Jacob's sons. And here's what happened to Moses. And here's what happened to David. And here's the story of David and Bathsheba and Timothy. That's why you gotta avoid that kind of thing. You can't get yourself in those kind of situations. I can hear that exchange going on. And Paul says to Timothy, "I want to remind you of a great blessing that you've had because you've had parents that helped you learn the Holy Scriptures." He learned the Holy Scriptures. And then it says in that same passage in verse 14, it says that he had been assured of. These are things that he had been assured of. Folks, not only was he convinced, but I believe he was convicted. And the reason that I know that is because when I go back to Acts 16 and I see that Paul wanted him to go on with him and help spread the gospel, Paul, very probably Lois and Eunice and even Timothy were converted possibly on Paul's first journey. And as they go back to these churches, as Paul gets to Derbe and Lystra and Iconium in those areas, the text tells us, Luke records for us in Acts 16, that Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren. People liked him. And I'm not talking about liking him just because he was a good guy. They liked him because he was a young man of faith. And as Paul talked to him, and as Paul looked at him, and as Paul thought about that, you know, the question would come to Paul's mind because he was looking for others to go. And so he encouraged Timothy to go with him. And I know Timothy's faith was strong because not as a younger man, he was willing to be circumcised for the sake of the gospel, which would not have been an easy thing for him to do at his age. He was committed to what Paul wanted. He was committed to the Lord, and he had that kind of faith, in part because he had been assured of those things. He believed what had been revealed in the Bible. He believed in the truth. I want to talk to you about that for just a moment. You know, in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14 and 17, he talked about sending into the world the Spirit of truth. In John 16 and verse 13, he talked about that when Jesus would say, when I leave, it's imperative that I leave, because when I leave, I'm going to send another comforter. And the comforter's not going to come until I do leave. Jesus himself was a comforter. But he said, when I leave, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter, who is the Spirit of truth, is going to guide you into all truth. What I want us to think about is that as our children learn, we're not just learning because we want them to engage in some academic exercise so they'll know something about the Bible. We want to, even as Patrick prayed tonight, and that's why I was so intent on the prayer that he offered and the things that he was saying. Talked about, I think, and I don't exactly remember the exact phraseology, but he says, teaching them to obey the truth and teaching them to understand what the truth is. And that's important. Some people don't want to talk about truth in that kind of way. But truth is what is revealed in Scripture. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have to be people who are interested in helping our children learn what the Bible says, but then helping them understand that these are things that you need to be assured of. These are things that you need to know. And I think Paul was helping Timothy understand that when you follow what the Bible says, the Holy Scriptures, they're going to make you wise toward the truth. They're going to make you wise for salvation. You'll understand. And so Peter would remind us in 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Those were things that Paul would tell Timothy. And Timothy would know it. Timothy would no doubt be preaching to help people understand. Here's the way truth has been revealed. But what I see in Scripture, what I see from Paul, is he's reminding Timothy of what a mother and a grandmother would do, because they taught him. They helped him learn what the Bible said. And not only did they help him learn what it said, they helped him learn to be convinced about what it said. And may I say this about that? That's becoming harder and harder to do. It's becoming harder and harder to convince people about what the truth of the gospel is. But if people are willing to search and if people are willing to study, we can know what the truth of the gospel is. Why would Jesus say, you'll know the truth? And the truth is going to set you free, and I am the truth. Why would he say that if there wasn't something that could be done objectively to get to that point? I believe that we can know. And I believe that we have a responsibility not only to know ourselves, but to teach our children that as well. Timothy was convicted about what he learned. They weren't just stories. And I'm sure as a younger man, he enjoyed the stories. And, you know, I don't know how his mother and his grandmother went about doing that, but I'm sure they did, because he learned those things. And he was assured of those things. That's what Paul reminds Timothy of. And then the final thought that I want to bring to your mind tonight is this. In verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3, Paul says, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. You must continue in those things. There was a commitment there, I think, that Timothy had. If you look back in the second part, or rather in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, let me just call your mind to a couple of things that he says here. In verse 8 of 2 Timothy 1, he says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. As a younger man, I don't know that Timothy by this time, I don't think he was a teenager. He may have been in his 30s or 40s, but you know, that's pretty young, right? Still pretty young. And I think it's interesting that he says, therefore, do not be ashamed. Right after he reminds him about the faith of his mother, and he says in verse 5, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And then he says, and I am persuaded it's in you also. It's my thinking that what Timothy is saying in this last letter, it may be that he had heard from Timothy, or what Paul is saying to Timothy, it may be that he's saying, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget the faith that your grandmother had. Don't forget the faith that your mother had. And then he says in verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. It may be that Timothy was going through maybe a little struggle. He says in verse 6 of this same chapter, in the middle of what I've just read, he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When I read those passages, I'm thinking, did Paul tell Timothy that because there was a problem? And I don't know that. But I know this, Paul felt like because this was the last exchange that he would have to Timothy that he needed to tell him that. Don't be timid. Don't be shy about what you know. And I think what he says when he says in chapter 3 that he needs to continue, this is the third C. He needs to be committed to it. And aren't those things that we would love to say to our children? We've taught you. You need to be convinced what you learned. Young people, I want to tell you that if you have parents who have sought to this point in time in your life to teach you what the gospel says, it is a tremendous blessing. You ought to be thankful for it. Not only have they taught you what it says, but they taught you to be convicted about that. They want you to be convicted. They want you to understand that there is truth, and you need to be convicted of that. And then they want you, as Paul would say to Timothy, you need to continue in those things. It's hard raising kids. Beth and I have raised 3, if I've counted right, and I think I have. It's not an easy task. I said that to you last week when we were talking about some things from Deuteronomy 6 that we were talking about. But if as parents we are seeking to do for our kids the things that will help them the most, then we need to help teach them. We need to help them be convicted. And we need to help them be committed to what God wants them to be. And that all happens from studying the Word of God. May God help us to do that. And it may be that we need to do that better. But we certainly need to do that. Do the very best we can to help our children to have the opportunity to be what Paul reminded Timothy of, that he can be wise for salvation through what the Scriptures say. May God help us to do that. Maybe that you're here tonight. We always offer an invitation. If you have a spiritual need that you're concerned about, that we can help you with, please make that known by coming forward as we stand.